News with him. Also take some of your calls on this big subject and a bunch of others. A really smart man. But let's go back to the calls. Frank in Texas, counterterrorism, COVID, what's coming next? Do you agree with General Flynn's emergency warning? I know I do.
Absolutely, I do. And a little bit of tidbit information that I'd like to offer. I don't know exactly what it means, but back in 2015, I was hired on to work and do migrations for hospitals. And the work was large, and we were never going to be able to complete the job. But the goal was to have it done by 2019. So I invented an augmented healing system to get us across the finish line. And it was 10 to 15 years more advanced than anything. Actually, I think it exposed some corruption with the vendors. That's not the point of the conversation. Conversation is we hit our market in 2019. Our next thing to do was to deploy Israeli counterterrorism software. And so we were deploying that, and then COVID hit in 2020. And so I just wanted to offer that little bit of information that I found it really strange and odd that how all that ties together with your conversations about Israel and the technocracy and everything. So I have other information, too, that's actually a little bit more vital. I've actually emailed you on your whistleblower email. Please check it. And if you'd like to have more of a private conversation. But I've got a lot of little bit of tidbits of information that really paint a more detailed picture of what you're already painting on your show.
Israel is heavily involved in the spy grid. There's been a big focus on that, which is fine with me. There's a gold rush, just like AI, which is part of it, in surveillance. But we'll get in there and look at that. You know, we're kind of drinking out of a fire hose, so I apologize. Sometimes people send us stuff and we don't respond. It's because we're so limited. They've crushed us down. You know, my job is to try to expand the operation regardless of what happens. But what constellation of issues do you see that makes you agree with Flynn that something is bigger, 9/11 is coming in the next 90 days?
I'd have to say a lot of the criminal activity that I've witnessed and seen that I've even been looped into. You mentioned something about the water supply stuff. I've seen people recruiting people for that. Other types of bank fraud type, computer type fraud type stuff. Different.
The computer fraud, the bank fraud is just exploding.
And it's all the same people. And the other tidbit of information that I would love to share with you kind of ties it all together really well is this central group that you're talking about. So I'm really thankful that you are telling the truth about this and providing the information out there, because this stuff is really true. It is really going on. And
are you saying you're seeing it mainly from Israel?
Well, yeah, and then, you know, I had a guy show up after I invented this thing, by the way, which was 10 or 15 years ahead of where everybody was at. Somebody who has tattoos that resemble symbols that you only see in conspiracy theory showed up at my house knowing things about me that even my wife doesn't. His wife was like the third richest guy out of Venezuela and talked to me a lot about that. Told me something bad was going to happen soon. Anyways, I actually reported him, and unfortunately, he died of 3 heart attacks in the last week of August. So I don't know if that helps at all, but like I said, I have other information too I'd love to share with you, but it's all tied together.
What was the subject of your whistleblower email?
I don't remember.
How am I going to find it? Okay, well, we'll look. Thanks for the call. People don't know, though, Venezuela is the big muscle for the left, other than Ukraine, because it's another money laundering operation. Venezuela is so rich, not their people, but the country with the oil. Mike Adams straight ahead. We'll intersperse your calls. Mark, Tom, Jonathan, Dom, Thomas Jefferson. It all, Thomas Jefferson, those 2 calls line up, both in Virginia. And he was from Virginia. That's crazy. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Follow me on X at Real Alex Jones. Stay with us.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats and the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way. So if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
All right, Mike Adams is riding the shotgun with me in this hour. He's hosting the fourth hour today. He's a software engineer, best-selling author, health expert, AI expert, you name it. And we had him on last week. I wanted to get him back on to do a deeper dive with us today. But I've been interviewing General Flynn for 10 years, former head of Defense Intelligence Agency, former national security advisor to Trump. I've never heard him so concerned with everything he's saying within 90 days, a whole spectrum of terror attacks, a lot of little terror attacks, but much bigger than 9/11. And we already put the headline out. I should have wrote it. The headline's okay, but it's like attack bigger than 9/11. Actually, he clarified, you know, it's a whole bunch of attacks to bring down the infrastructure. They're trying to crash the stock market. This government shutdown was an attempt at that. Now they've got so much pressure, it's so unpopular, they're having to back off. Who knows what's going to happen there? But big picture, the globalists are making their move. And then you've got the Justice Department behind the scenes running around trying to shut down the pipe bomber story. And that's a bad sign. So I just wanted to first ask Mike Adams of naturalnews.com, Mike, big picture, what do you make of General Flynn issuing the starkest warning I've ever heard him put out? That everything he sees in the pre-preparations with all these drug gang forces, Islamic forces, all of it, and then now ICE getting shot at Chicago, the Latin Kings, that you don't ever really hear about because it's more of a mafia, but it's older and way more sophisticated than MS-13 or TDA putting out officially order to kill ICE on site. This is escalating very quickly. How would you describe the moment we're in right now in responding to General Flynn?
Well, I completely agree with what General Flynn said. He's 100% on board, and it confirms a lot of the chatter, a lot of the sources, information that I've been exposed to over the years, interviewing people sometimes in shadow because we couldn't reveal their names and so on. And I know many of your sources have said much the same thing. And I know Matt Bracken has spoken about this. There's an infrastructure of domestic terrorism that has been put into play. So we know, we actually know, the U.S. State Department knows what kinds of weapons have gone missing that they initially had track of as they were crossing the border, but they've lost track of them. And those include surface-to-air missiles. There was a big scare about that during Trump's campaigning in the last election. And he actually altered some of his use of airplanes and stopped using, I think, the Trump plane for that very reason. That was a very credible threat. And that threat still exists. I think the last I heard, there were at least 10 surface-to-air missiles in the United States.
And if you remember, not tooting my own horn, I warned of the surface-to-air missile threat 3 months before it became the big threat.
Absolutely. And so you also know that there is staged in America, there are small portable mortar units, probably 60 millimeters or something like that, that can be used to hit refineries, they can be used to hit power grid substations. On top of that, and this is, I don't know, 6 months ago that we got word from some of our sources that drones were being used to airlift anti-personnel mines over the border in Arizona. So there are anti-personnel mines. There are RPGs that are staged in storage facilities or just sort of hidden, shipping containers or what have you, all across this country, including, you know, police uniforms and things like that. So yes, the infrastructure for massive widespread terrorism exists. But Alex, what I would like to add to that is I believe that the globalist forces that are trying to destroy America, they're waiting for a critical moment of U.S. economic weakness when they issue the go signal, when they want to strike. So they want
to totally agree. They want an economic crash as the focal point to blame Trump, claim he's Herbert Hoover. So do they do it? Do they do it before the Supreme Court potentially rules against his tariffs or after?
Well, I think that ruling is imminent, and I think it will go against Trump. But I think that the terror attacks are probably waiting for something bigger. For example, bank failures. Bank failures are also imminent. There are both the consumer lending banks will suffer cascading failures throughout 2026, and also the commercial real estate lending banks. So there are two different vectors of bank failures that we're about to see. And on the consumer side, Alex, let me mention, consumer debt has reached a record high, $18.6 trillion. And that's student loans, home loans, car loans, and medical debt primarily. Those are the top four. You're seeing subprime auto lenders now going into default. I think three of them have gone into default so far. That's going to cascade up the chain to other larger auto loan lenders. It's basically the big short for car loans is what's happening right now. And car repos are just skyrocketing all across the country. There's going to be a glut of used cars available, you know, starting now for this very reason.
And for those that don't understand this, not just in the last 200 years, but throughout history, whenever an empire or a system comes to the end of a bubble, they always have a war, start a war. The question is, what type of war will this be? So we're at the end of a bubble. They need something to change the subject. What will that trigger be? Domestic race war, full war with Russia, China? I don't think the globalists have made their decision yet. They've got a lot of stuff going on. Trump being in the White House trying to stabilize and stop it really causes them a problem because they normally make these moves when they're in control. I've never really seen them make a move in the middle of a transition at the end of a cycle while there's a civil war within the power structure. That's what makes this so special.
Yeah, and I want to be clear, even though I'm critical of some of the things that Trump is doing, he inherited a problem that is unsolvable. You know, the debt that exists, the entitlements that exist, all of the, you know, Social Security, Medicare, pensions, military spending, interest on the debt, and so on. There's nothing that any president can do about those expenditures.
And that's why they sat out with Biden and Kamala, because the globalists already planned to crash this. They can't believe the can's been kicked down. Exactly. The Gavin Newsom stuff are sending back to come in the saviors after it.
But I do think that Trump's $2,000 helicopter money airdrop, even though it in the short term, it may temporarily spur economic spending at the local level. It's going to save a lot of local restaurants and retailers and so on. But that's only going to add to inflation, which worsens the longer-term problem, obviously. You have more currency chasing the same limited set of goods and services.
Sure, so wargaming this, what are the different moves the globalists are going to make?
Well, I think, again, the globalists are going to wait for a substantial financial crisis to unfold, which could happen before the end of this year. And I think General Flynn is correct that that kind of event will be used to spur a very aggressive set of global moves. And we have to keep in mind China and Taiwan. Now, you know, Alex, I lived in Taiwan. You know, I'm very fond of the Taiwanese people. I speak Chinese and I have great admiration for Chinese culture and Chinese intellect, etc. Taiwan is beginning, well, for a long time, they've been moving to rejoining China. And what Trump has done with the punitive tariffs that have even affected Taiwan is Trump has actually hurt some of the pro-America allies in Taiwan through those tariffs. Same thing's happening with India, where there's 50% tariffs right now. So Trump has lost a lot of allies actually in Taiwan, and there's a stronger move to rejoin China. I would not be surprised. The reason I mention this is because as America becomes economically weak through a crisis, there may be a very aggressive non-military move for Taiwan to make a leap to rejoin China, because of the trade benefits that China is developing with its Belt and Road Initiative.
And for people that don't know, they go, why, who cares about Taiwan? What percentage of the best chips for AI are made there?
Well, I mean, Taiwan Semiconductor is the world leader by far. It has the best technology, the best 2-nanometer manufacturing lithography technology, etc. So without Taiwan, the West, we cannot manufacture our microchips at anywhere near the current rate. And without that knowledge base. Now, I understand we're setting up microchip factories in places like Texas. However, if you follow the most recent factory in Texas, they have massive problems, huge problems. And you can't just take a microchip factory out of Taiwan and stick it in Texas because everything's different. The soils are different. Everything's shifting with the soils. The water quality is different. The air, the humidity, the weather, the changes in barometric pressure, all of this affects lithography.
So people don't know they had to tinker for decades and decades and decades.
Absolutely. And again, my admiration for the people of Taiwan, that's underscored by the fact that they have become the most brilliant microchip engineers and manufacturing people on the planet by far. And if China then takes over control of that, and you just heard Jensen Huang, the CEO of NVIDIA, say that China is very likely to win the race to superintelligence. And there are all kinds of reasons. We can go into that if you want. But Jensen Huang probably, I'm just guessing, I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but he wouldn't mind if Taiwan rejoins with China because it would make
Well, that was a very pro-China statement.
Yeah. Well, absolutely it was. But it's becoming harder and harder even for Western thought leaders to try to say that China is just a third world country that can never beat us or catch us. China's leading in like 60 out of 65 key technologies for the world right now, including robotics and drones and rare earth metals extraction. And China, as we talked about on Friday, China's got over double the aggregate annual power output of the United States. The U.S. is at least 14 to 15 years behind China.
And that's thanks to the globalist carbon garbage.
That's the Democrats push the climate change cultism, set us back 15 years, is my estimate, on a power grid infrastructure. Now, to Trump's credit, he has always been pro-energy. And that's critical. We're never going to survive as a nation if we are not pro-energy. We need pipelines. We need fossil fuels. We need natural gas. If we don't have those things, we are done. Actually, honestly, Alex, I think it's too late. I think we're past the tipping point. We can't build that infrastructure quickly enough unless the government stops censoring key technologies that exist, like low-energy nuclear reactions.
I was about to go next. Trump has signaled that he wants to release a lot of the secret technologies. What's stopping him from doing that? We're already innovated many ways, not on chips, but with other free energy and things. He should just innovate right now.
Because the entire control grid of our world, as long as we've been alive, has been based on scarcity. Scarcity of energy, scarcity of cognition, scarcity of labor, scarcity of resources. If you unleash the hidden technologies like zero-point energy and so on, or cold fusion, low-energy nuclear reactions, then you end all energy scarcity. Now, think about the implications of that in the Middle East. If you end energy scarcity domestically in the United States, you can no longer justify the assertion of control of the Middle East through Israel as a proxy.
And you no longer have the dollar backed up by oil.
Well, exactly. Then Saudi Arabia no longer becomes nearly as important as it is currently. And then their purchases in the dollar would begin to decline.
But Saudi Arabia, they know that's coming. That's why they're racing away from oil.
Yeah, actually, I think a lot of Gulf states are investing in free energy technologies, understanding that's the future of our world. See, Alex, this is happening at the same time that cognition is becoming incredibly widespread, incredibly low cost through AI, which is reducing in cost by about 40x every year or so, which is just extraordinary. So you're about to move into a future where energy and cognition are both extremely abundant, but the U.S. is still holding back on the energy side of that through the suppression of energy technologies like cold fusion.
Which is why the globalist left did that, to put China in position, but then China and the globalists broke up. Why did the globalists, I know they're still double dealing, but why would you say it was 20 years ago or China really never joined us? Or I say the globalists as us, the West, when they're in control of us. But 16 years ago, Xi Jinping breaks. 5 years ago, ends one-child policy. Clearly, he's left them and really run away with the technology. So that's what really discredits globalism, just from a operable position, not as an intellectual debate about its morals. Obviously, it's evil that China double-crossed them or they double-crossed themselves. So that overturns the whole paradigm right there.
Yeah, well, remember that globalists, their ultimate goal is to prepare Earth for a post-human future. And one of the ways that they need to do that, an interim goal, is the total global control over human populations. And they like the China model as the best model of surveillance and control, the social credit scoring system, et cetera. They also hate the fact that Trump is laying down tariffs just by himself, which is disrupting the
extraction. I'm asking you, though, your view of the real world power players, the real blocks. Is China really decoupled from the globalist, or is it just partially?
No, I would say only. Oh, no, they're not completely decoupled. Not at all. They are bedfellows, I would say. I mean, China is its own sovereign nation, but it, in order to compete globally, it has to pay homage to some of the interests of the of what globalists control.
Sure. So what's the pivot 15, trade. 16 years ago? What caused the West to claim and stop just whole hog giving China everything?
Well, you know, starting from the recognition of China, mainland China, in, I believe, what was it, 1971 or right around that time with Richard Nixon, then at first it was thought that China will just make the stuff that we consume and China will never be a competitive threat to the United States because we're America. We're the brightest, smartest, most capable, most productive people in the world, which was true in the 1970s. But what happened then, as you mentioned, 15 years ago or thereabouts, people began to realize that, wait a second, China's actually going to outcompete us. And they're building out their industry that resembles the post-World War II industrial economy of the United States. And China, it turns out that, you know, back in the 70s, a lot of Americans thought that Chinese were just low-grade, stupid people. Turns out they're incredibly brilliant people, and they are outperforming America in the sciences and engineering and so on. And this is evident today with the open source AI models that are coming out
of
China.
Well, plus we've had a deliberate 100-year program to dumb Americans down. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, with the chemicals, with the chemtrails, with the vaccines, which are lobotomy injections and bioweapons, et cetera. Yeah. The American people have been dumbed down through a number of vectors. And the point was, I believe the long-term goal was always to put China in the lead. And that's where we are today. But economically, Alex, there's also Triffin's dilemma is a concept that I don't know if you've covered it on your show, but Triffin's dilemma says that when you are the global reserve currency, the dollar, then there's so much demand for your dollars around the world that it will make your currency strong and it will gut your own domestic manufacturing because other countries will be able to manufacture more cheaply than you. So,
and that's why Trump is deliberately trying to lower the dollar.
Yeah, exactly. You got it. But I don't think that's going to work. And really, the only way for the U.S. to reindustrialize, which Trump is trying to do, but I think it will fail unless we give up the global dollar hegemony, the dollar domination, and we join a multipolar world with other currencies and other settlement systems, which means that Trump would have to learn to get along with BRICS. And so far, he's not indicating
sure,
any
desire. Sure, I totally agree. So we're going to have a collision course. What's the time frame?
Yes. It's begun. It's begun. I mean, the tariff wars is this is part of the collision course. Now, if the Supreme Court strikes that down, it's going to be much more difficult for Trump to do what he wants to do. But I believe the tariffs are unconstitutional. That's my opinion. And I also believe they've been harming a lot of small businesses in America because of the destruction of the supply chains. And they've created a business environment that is entirely unpredictable. If you import products, how can you predict what's going to happen when Trump can wake up tomorrow and change his mind, right? So we need stability in a business environment. But most of all, we need to refocus on America's competitiveness. We have to radically reform the education system. The teachers' unions have destroyed public education. The woke universities have destroyed our system. They've dumbed down our people on purpose. That's got to be radically reformed so that we have brighter, smarter, more capable people. And then we can compete with
China. Sure, but the
China
timeline is too quick now. So for those that are informed, they'll do better than ever. For those that aren't, they're in deep trouble. My issue is you can argue in an emergency, and the way these deals have been done, Trump can do this. We can argue it round or square. But at the same time, what happens if they shoot down Trump's tariffs? He's got some other ones he thinks that are constitutional. I think it's going to be so discrediting it derails his whole plan. And so I'm on the fence now. I don't know if Trump says it's national security, which it is. He's kind of made the decision now. So you can disagree with the idea, but kind of once the train leaves the station, we got to talk about the ramifications of this getting shot down, Mike.
But I think Trump is making a critical strategic mistake in thinking that tariffs will automatically bring back reindustrialization of America. That's not going to happen, no matter how high the tariffs are. Now, these foreign entities that have pledged investments into the United States, my opinion is they're going to drag that out until Trump is out of office. And a lot of those projects will never come to fruition. Why? Well, there's a company that tried to make sodium ion batteries in Michigan. It was called Natron Energy. And I was a big advocate of Natron. They were going to make sodium ion here in the United States. Well, they went bankrupt a couple of months ago. Why? Because you can't compete with Chinese manufacturing of sodium ion batteries domestically. Why can't you compete? Well, a number of reasons. And among those, Alex, is the fact that the American people are sick and diseased and mass medicated because they're eating a bunch of processed junk food and pesticides and herbicides, the things that you and I have talked about for so many years. And I remember when you were warning about all the atrazine herbicide in the food supply, which does turn the frogs gay, everybody attacked you for it. And everybody deplatformed me for talking about why we need to stop eating junk foods and stop taking medication.
Sure, you've got to have a healthy population. We're too stupid to even be able to run a battery factory.
Yes, that's the point. We're too sick. We're too, as a country, we're too obese. We're too diseased. We're too cognitively impaired to be able to function in manufacturing. That is a big part of it. And so that's why and you can hear it in my voice, I'm frustrated with the MAHA movement that's going in with big pharma, you know, pushing weight loss drugs instead of healthier eating choices. You know, like people like me, we know how to fix health in this country. A lot of us, we know how to fix health. You got to stop direct-to-consumer drug advertising, for one thing, and you got to turn around the USDA's food guides so that they promote nutrition instead of processed foods. But that's going to cost a lot of money for big business.
But listen,
and big
I agree with all that, Mike, but at this point, it's epidemic. I think the clock's ticked down so far here.
Yes.
That all this is academic now. I think the stage is set for whatever's about to happen.
No, you're right. It would take a generation to fix America's health, a generation. And it's too late for that. And actually, it would take almost a generation to bring our power back online unless we unleash the censored technologies.
Like I agree. I said. So it's all, listen, the poisoning was on purpose. Transferring the jobs to China was on purpose. Poisoning us, all of it was there. And then you got leftist communists running around everywhere that hate the country. Man, I tell you.
We're about to go through a collapse type of scenario. I don't know if collapse is the word that everybody would use, but it's going to be catastrophic economically, socially, culturally. There will be outbursts of violence. Trump will be forced, I believe, to declare some form of military control over certain cities. I think he's preparing for that. And I think I will actually probably support that at the time because the left is going to be so out of control. They're going to be just killing
people
in the streets.
But let's be clear. You're a police state expert. I'm a well-known police state. Like, you're more of a health expert than me. I'm the police expert. Folks, we didn't do this. We don't want this. The globalists want to bring us down with this. If we don't, we're completely screwed. And we have an anemic, oh, God, he has like a couple thousand soldiers, his rapid reaction force. It's going to take, in a real breakdown, millions of soldiers. He's going to have to mobilize the sheriffs. They're going to have to call out auxiliaries. They're going to have to get all the veterans into volunteer groups. I mean, Mike, you're an expert on this as well. I know you've been a lot of preparedness. How many paramilitaries and emergency workers will it take during a collapse, depending on the type of collapse, to even stabilize the country? We'll be right back with Mike Adams. Stay with us. They know what they're doing. They mean business. They've already conquered most of the world, and they're not going to stop. George Soros stole the pension funds of dozens of countries' old people. The left loves him. He crashes currencies. He puts old people on the street. He helps Adolf Hitler round up Jews. They love that. That's power. That's the pure exercise of will to them because they're such disgusting people. Look at Mondami. Look at Alexander Soros. Those are the most disingenuous, fake, wicked, manipulating people that have nothing but absolute, total rage towards you and your family. You're a hardworking middle-class black family, they hate you. You're a hardworking middle-class Hispanic family, they hate you. You're a hardworking middle-class white family, they hate you. They hate anything that ever stood up to total power and total control. It's in their textbooks of why the West must be destroyed so there's no example of anybody else and no hope worldwide. Nothing but darkness and evil rulers because they can do whatever they want. And how they convince the West that we're the authors of the evil, that we're the authors of slavery, that we're the authors of darkness and destruction, when despite all our problems, the West has been the great light. And they don't deny that in Japan. They don't deny that as philosophers, even in India. They teach that there still, but not Not here. You've got to be taught that you are bad. You are evil. So you must bow down and give up your life force, give up your will, give up your survival instinct, and learn to hate yourself because the world's going to end. Because the ice caps all melt and the polar bears all drown. None of it's true. And you know it's not true. But when AOC and all of them tell you the world ends in 2030, well, under their 2030 agenda, the world as you know it is over. And any free market capitalist system of competition is over. And the mega corporations through the governments rule you. And they do it all through class envy. When it is the billionaire globalist class, the BlackRocks, the Larry Finks that are running all of this. So when you hear everybody that wants welfare and everybody that wants a free lunch, everybody that's a criminal, everybody that wants to get away with murder is going to come to New York and that, boy, that's stupid, that'll destroy the city, that's the plan. And then as that falls and as they bring in even more foreigners, that boils into the next town, boils into the next city. And the incredible corruption of the Democratic Party and all the money they steal and all the things they do. They want to destroy all the tourist centers. They want ugliness. They want homelessness. They want homeless camps everywhere. They want rats running around the street. While Larry Fink lives on a 20,000-acre gigantic mansion that rival what the King of England has. But, oh, he's up there telling you if you're making $100,000 a year, you're a rich, evil, white person, and you better do whatever he says. And they're destroying the means of production. The big banks don't want competition. They want to destroy the means of production so they can then issue you credits when you're in debt. They already own 80%+ of the assets in the world, but now they've got to get the last 20%. Not just because they're greedy like Scrooge McDuck that wants to swim around in gold, but because they want to dictate everything to us. They don't want you to have anything. Not a garden, not your health, not a little farm, not a skill. Not be able to say 2 + 2 = 4. Not be able to fix an engine because all the engines are computerized and won't let you. They want a post-human world with robots delivering us all our food and everything else. The poison food. It is a premeditated international globalist takeover, and they admit it. It is deliberate. It is a plan, and you can stop a deliberate plan. Deliberate. Deliberate. Premeditated. 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 Premeditated.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Now, a lot of people, I mean, you name it, national news, CNN, New York Times, I mean, so much I can't keep track of it. It's every day. But also a lot of patriot pundits and folks say, Jones was the guy against a police state. Jones was the guy against the military domestically, and now he's sold out. Two completely different things. I was told by the military and by senior police chiefs, like the San Antonio police chief, the head of the Austin SWAT team in like 96, they had the military coming. Even the military's like, yeah, we're trained to take over, take the guns for Clinton. We think this sucks. What should we do? They reached out to me because I was on a bunch of stations in Texas. So I became an expert because Army intelligence out of Fort Hood came to me. Then they put me in touch with police chiefs because it turned out, and I wasn't sophisticated then, I'm like, Delta Force wants to take over America because I'm like 23 years, 24 years old. That wasn't blaming the military, but it's like I didn't understand intelligence and stuff. I got dropped right in the middle because I had a huge show. I knew a lot of stuff about the Federal Reserve and, you know, basic stuff, the UN, but I'm like, because they never tell you the whole story. They're just like, here's this document. This is going on. You'd be concerned. And the media would spin it too. Like, Jones is attacking the Army. And it was actually the Army telling me this. Okay. And even FBI agents would, like, deliver us stuff. And we get an anonymous call. We're running an illegal military checkpoint up here on I-35 today at noon in Temple. Get up here. And I'd have the comment line. I'd be on air. I'd tell my camera guy, Mike Hansen, drive up there. And he'd go, it's weird. An FBI agent pulled up, gave me this secret document, marked classified about it all. And like they were doing it to get us to warn people. And I didn't really demonize them. I just didn't even understand it. I was just somebody with a big show. So they were shoveling me the intelligence because they didn't want to do national gun confiscation and all the fight the patriot constitutionalists and all that. That was a plan when the globals were thinking about it under Clinton. This is the Podesta plan now that's public, that if Trump ever won election again, they would stir things up, collapse the economy, have a race war. And then when Trump's forced to put troops on the streets, then they call him a dictator and a king and drive him out, which you've now seen. So it's not like I even have an opinion here. This is their plan. Trump knows martial law is not good for hotels and golf courses. That's not his bag. But they're trying to push him into it. The question is, will they be able to set off a big enough crisis to get it done that then further stalls the economy, the stock market, and our attempted buildup to beat China? Because it's not like this civil war will probably be successful for the communists, the left, but China's funding it and behind it to a great extent with BlackRock because it will be way worse than the lockdowns and COVID. Is that an accurate statement, Mike Adams?
Yeah, absolutely. They want to provoke Trump into an overarching police state response and then call him a dictator and try to remove him from office, possibly through certain stay behind agents that are still in the Pentagon, by the way, that haven't been rooted out. And there are some of those in the FBI as well. But I think that effort's going to fail because once the left really launches its revolt against our country, and it's going to be regional too, Alex. So I'm not saying there's going to be nationwide martial law.
It's going to be on the West Coast, East Coast, Minnesota.
And
First it starts on the West Coast, then areas they control in blue cities, then the East Coast.
Well, exactly. And I do not think, however, I do not think that U.S. National Guard units are prepared for the urban drone warfare that's coming. And I think the best place to look right now is Ukraine. Look at what happened since 2022 with the special military operation, how warfare has changed so dramatically.
We know the cartels, bare minimum, have got them loaded with hand grenades ready. So exactly, the National Guard needs to be ready for that.
Yeah, drone warfare is what it's going to be. So, you roll tanks into a city, it's not going to be very effective when the left is motivated to destroy those tanks. And,
the left is for a couple of years building up now are handing out manuals on Molotov cocktail anti-tank moves as well.
Right. I mean, look also what we saw in Gaza with the Palestinian fighters, walking up to tanks and throwing bombs down the hatch or whatever. I mean, that kind of warfare will happen in America. And actually, there's a very important story from thegrayzone.com that says AI drones used in Gaza are now surveilling American cities. And 800, I'm reading from the article, 800 law enforcement agencies across America have contracted with this drone company. And these drones are being used to surveil protests.
Say that again, Gray Zone. Pull it up. I already saw some.
TheGrayZone.com.
There it is. AI drones in Gaza.
That's
now
it.
Now surveilling American cities. Wow.
Right. Now, even if you're listening to this and you're pro-Trump and you're thinking, well, Trump's not going to abuse that power. Well, but the problem is once Trump sets the precedent, then, of course, whoever else gets power or even at the state level, Newsom could say, well, I'm going to use our drones.
And let's go beyond that. Happen. We already had Biden and Swalwell and Newsom say we'll use F-16s, F-18s on you. So let's just be clear. Here's the problem with AI and robots and computers. Soldiers are humans. You can't get a lot of them to do false flags. That's why the globals are paralyzed. But even in a martial law scenario that they trigger, Trump will then deploy our own robots and our own stuff that can then be hijacked to attack civilians to blame Trump. And then you don't have humans that can expose the new 9/11 false flag. It can be programmed, do the attack, then have the drones wipe themselves and self-destruct.
100%. And the advantage in drone warfare goes to the industrial centers that can mass produce them. Now, think about U.S. history. When, for example, the French came to our aid in the past, what if this civil war sets off in California and then Newsom does a deal with China, the drone maker of the world? China starts shipping millions of drones. to the California, you know, the Democrat units to start launching drone warfare against Trump's troops that are trying to regain control over those left-wing cities. So you could very quickly see how, you know, California could become a proxy location for a global conflict involving potentially China. I mean,
and by the way, if you're a new listener and you're thinking this is fantasy, Newsom was on TV 2 months ago saying, we're doing the Western Alliance. We're going on offense. And the crowd all claps. They know that's the movie Civil War and all the new movies, which are in the Podesta plan. They're producing $350 million movies on the Podesta plan to pre-program it. The average leftist, they've been caught on tape admitting this is the plan. And they said to Weatherman back with Obama in the 70s, with Larry Graffold, said, when we take down America with Clark Piven collapsing the welfare system, China will come to our aid, and we have pre-placed Latin American communist gangs. That's why they even made the movie Red Dawn in the 80s, because this is a real plan. And now we're here, Mike.
Well, exactly. And the trigger of this would be an economic crisis event in the U.S., after which I think Newsom and some of the other left-wing people that are practically calling for a revolution right now, they would rise up. And remember that Newsom did deals with China during COVID. He sent $1 billion to a Chinese EV company claiming that it was for purchasing N95 masks. And then, to my knowledge, that $1 billion disappeared. Nobody ever saw it again. The mask never showed up. It was some kind of a money laundering operation, which, of course, the Democrats routinely engage in. But no one was allowed to talk about that in the media.
Well, let me ask you about the wild card, because you're going to talk next hour, and you're a genius, and I love talking to you. I'm not looking for offensive stuff, but if we affect the battle space, people know what's going on. The deciding factor, if this kicks off, is going to be people taking it in their own hands. And obviously, as populists and conservatives, we're not going to, we'll be on, you know, defense generally. But a lot of people, like Santa Claus, have made some lists. I don't think the leftist leaders understand that once this kicks off, it's open season, which I think is terrible. But can you speak to that? I don't think the globalists and their minions and, you know, their adjuncts, I don't think they realize what's going to happen. Because, you know, they can attack our power plants and all that. But when people are literally in the dark, they're going to know who did it. I don't know how the Zuckerbergs, who I challenged to come over to Trump, at least publicly, should give up. You think you're safe in your bunker. Don't they understand what's going to happen once this goes down?
Yeah, for one thing, Silicon Valley could find itself in the middle of a war zone, which is going to, of course, disrupt AI research and all the tech companies, et cetera, Google, et cetera. Although I think Google is one of the most evil corporations on the planet anyway. But there's a book series, I think it's called 299 Days. I believe the author is Glenn Tate. And that book series, which is it's set in Portland, Oregon, but it's, I think, a very accurate depiction over about 10 books of what this kind of West Coast domestic warfare could look like, except it needs to be updated with, you know, robot drones and air drones, et cetera, and cyber attacks.
But let's be clear, like that. Not just Podesta, all their major war games center on the West Coast starting it.
Yeah, because that's where, and by the way, the economic destitution that's happening right now, which is going to get worse, this serves as a recruiting funnel for West Coast people, because the more desperate their situation becomes, then the more likely they are to have nothing left to lose. As Joe Salenti says, they have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And if you look at the University of Michigan, it's a consumer sentiment index, which has been run for decades. It's now plunged, I'm reading, to 50.3, which is the second lowest number that's ever been recorded. And that was for early November. That number is likely to get much worse, to an all-time low over the next few weeks or next month. Consumer sentiment is horrific right now.
Sure, people are losing Trump's their trying jobs. To prop it up with cheerleading and policies that have given up time would work. Shouldn't he just come and put the cards out and address the nation and show who the enemies are and tell the big plan? Because if the enemy was identified and their whole plan laid out like we're doing, I see that would make them back off. I've learned when we get their plans ahead of time, that's why they hate the show. They've admitted that. They hate what you do as well. If they're presented with their battle plan, then they start, you know, suing us, saying, who's giving you this? What agency? No, we reverse engineered it. How's that Hail Mary? What else could Trump do?
Well, I think it's very difficult for Trump to level with the public that is not as informed as your audience. So, you know, you and I can handle it. Your audience can handle it. No problem. We already know what's going on. But the typical mainstream media consuming American would be so psychologically disrupted by the truth that there'd probably be mass suicides and they would cease to function. So that's really not an option for Trump. And that's why, you know, right now the White House is just gaslighting us, like, oh, it's a golden age. The economy is great. No, it isn't. It's not great. You and I know it, but some people are just going to go along with this. But, you know, look, Scott Bessent over the weekend, he gave an interview and he said it's actually looking bad now. So something flipped with our Treasury Secretary to say that there's a risk. Well, he was talking about if the shutdown continues, there's a risk of our growth being cut in half. Apparently that shutdown has been resolved. I guess we'll see. We'll see if that happens. But that's only temporary till January. And Alex, one more thing. The food stamps, the 42 million Americans that are reliant on government food stamp handouts in order to feed themselves, think about how much trouble it caused just during this temporary disruption. Imagine when the dollar collapses. Imagine when there are no food stamps ever again because the dollar is worthless. What's going to happen to society at that point when 42 million people realize we can't even, you know, there's no point in even waiting to get paid because the money's never coming. So
footage of the EBT folks literally going and squatting in grocery stores with their kids and like eating, you know, the stuff, the total entitlement, they weigh like 500 pounds. Can you imagine 42? Let's play this video. Start it over. Here it is.
We've been into all donuts. Open the box. Let me see which one I want. Come on, man. You got a donut? Everybody get their donut. Yeah.
She had four kids under the LBJ plan. She gets money for them. They're literally being taught to rob. And just, this is so sad. And imagine 42 million people like this.
So
the Pentagon studies, and I agree with them, in 15 days, 30-40% commit suicide, the rest become cannibals. So this woman doesn't know she'll be the donut on menu if society collapses, Mike Adams.
Well, as a food safety expert, I would advise people not to eat other people because they're toxic. They have heavy metals. They've got pesticides and herbicides.
Yeah, it's like eating a giant bluefin tuna. It's very toxic.
It's the worst. And again, I mean, I'm this is kind of satire here, but not really. But you don't want to eat. You don't want to turn to cannibalism as survival because you will become very, very ill if you do that.
No, I wasn't endorsing cannibalism, but I met a few years ago, so this continues where we are. But the point is, that's what the studies show it goes to.
Yeah. I'm just saying that if you're in a survival scenario, you should eat rats before you eat people because the rats are less toxic. I mean, I'm serious because I've actually tested like wild rabbit hair versus even my own hair or dog hair, whatever. The wild animals are by far the cleanest, sources.
Sure, explain that. We're at the top of the food chain, so the more apex you are, the more toxic.
Well, right, because a lot of the forever chemicals and so on are fat soluble, so they bioaccumulate in fat tissues. And this is also part of the big problem, why our nation is failing, which I kind of mentioned earlier, is that we have been inundated with all these toxins for so long, and the corporate media has been all on board with it for so long, pushing vaccines, pharmaceuticals, pesticides, atrazine, glyphosate, all of it, GMOs, you name it. And like only now do we have a HHS secretary in RFK Jr. who even has the knowledge that those things are bad. And even then, his hands are tied to the point where there's very little that he can do, although some things have happened.
The globalists admit in their own textbooks, like eco-science, that they did this to dumb us down and control us. They thought China would work with them. Now their own base to resist the double cross is retarded. I mean, this is a disaster.
It's a disaster, and on top of that is the very real AI replacement wave that has already begun. And I noticed there's a lot of media pushback saying, oh, AI projects fail, they don't work correctly, etc. Well, they're failing. Where they are failing is because the humans don't yet know how to use them properly, but that skill set is advancing rapidly. AI is extraordinary in its cognition and its capabilities, as I've proven even with my own projects that I mentioned.
Let me tell you, Grok and ChatGPT, when I ask it to be me, it literally sounds just like me.
Yeah. And
it's like
our
talking to myself.
Trained on you.
Yeah.
Well, all I got to do is get your voice. If you ever want to do this for fun on your show, but you could clone your own voice with a company like 11 Labs and then use our model to generate Alex Jones talking points, and it would be awesome. It would sound just like you with your text. But of course, you know, we don't want somebody else to use your voice without your permission.
But it is a form of immortality, except they can erase it anytime they want. And that's why we need decentralized.
Well, that's why your 24 years of your show was used to train our model that's already been distributed to tens of thousands of people. So you've already achieved virtual immortality. It's done.
Mike, tell us, we got some more time. We'll take a few calls here, but you're taking over next hour. What's on your, you sent me a whole list of topics, which I should have gone to. Trump's administration is implementing $2,000 stimulus payment. You already hit that. The economy is characterized as a artificial economy. The direct stimulus seen in the necessary measure to spur real consumer spending. The government could expect control of the UBI funds. We've got this. The situation is
the technocracy.
Yeah. So what are you going to cover next hour?
Yeah, that's going to be my focus, is technocracy, where when the American public become so desperate, there will be an effort to roll out a universal basic income of some kind. And this $2,000 stimulus promise that Trump has mentioned, this could just be the opening chapter of it. But whether Trump or someone else, the UBI funds will be controlled. And what the government can do is...
That's universal basic income, for those that don't know.
That's right. The government can decide that you're only allowed to spend UBI funds with approved retailers or approved online vendors. So they could say, Alex, for example, they could say, well, you can't spend the free government money at the Alex Jones store because we don't approve of the Alex Jones store. But you can spend it on Amazon because Amazon is friends with the current administration.
And we've had BlackRock and the WEF, they've all said that's the plan. They'll say, well, it's already at this warehouse. We're going to let it go other places. That, you know, cuts into resources. And look, I can just see it. The self-driving cars, the robots, Austin's one of the main testing grounds. The perfect ingredient is a new virus and a new lockdown to, again, force adoption of the robots.
Well, yeah. And I also think that a very likely scenario is a false flag cyber attack on the power grid to bring down the power grid in blue cities in order to, to destabilize them and to cause mass die-offs. Because remember, the ultimate long-term goal here is to prepare Earth for a post-human future with very few humans remaining. You know, this has been the UN goal and the WEF goal for a long time. And I think that all of this just accelerates that, because what government can afford to keep hundreds of millions of people on a UBI forever? You can't.
Sure, exactly. We're in greater debt than ever. Let's go UBI. We'll take a few calls before I hand the baton to you. Okay. This little bit of the segment and then the first five. But Mike Adams is totally on target. We're not trying to demoralize you. We believe that you're just like us. You want to know the truth. But the point is, we're not in the old paradigm now. We've already crossed the point of return, the event horizon. It's here. Mike and I can finish each other's sentences because this is the real thing we're looking at. General Flynn and I can finish each other's sentences.
It's not going back to the world you knew. It's not going back to the way it was. Never.
And I try to even tell my family that is informed, they still, there's a normalcy bias. And compared to my family that's somewhat self-sufficient and good people, imagine that sad woman who can barely sit down eating the donuts like she's grazing or something. You know, imagine her during this collapse. I mean, my God.
You know, unfortunately, people like that will be the low-hanging fruit for the extermination robots. That's where this is going. But look, and what I'm going to talk about next hour is how you can survive this and actually thrive and protect yourself. This isn't I'm not a doomer on this topic. I'm a realist. Billions probably will not survive this, but potentially billions can survive. And what determines that is the choices that you make from here forward and your knowledge about what's happening. So that's going to be my focus next hour, Alex.
Let's go to Jonathan in New York. What's around the corner? Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hey, what's going on, Alex? How are you?
I'm all right. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. One thing I wanted to make mention is that I think we're having the right conversation now. I think that Mamdani does play a little bit more of a role in this technocracy that we're going to be headed towards. I think Mamdani and AI are bedfellows. And the reason why I believe that is because we're here. Well, Mamdani is obviously here to consolidate. He's going to destroy. He's going to consolidate by destroying and confiscating, at which point he will then consolidate and we will all be on AI is intrinsically tied with welfare and UBI.
Well, that's right. He said, if you don't follow every zoning rule and all the impossible environmental laws passed by Biden, they're going to take your property. That is literal communism.
Yes. And one thing that I just read recently, I'm from New York, so I'm telling you from the hellhole that I await to be rained by in about 50 some odd days. But what's going on now, and they're talking about, is Mondami and Governor Hochul are in conversations, are in a cooperative effort for a key word, and that's data centers. And these are data centers in New York State and data farms. And that's where I believe that Mondami and AI are here to usher in that the technocracy in New York City that also pushes out a lot of the welfare and the bankers. And everybody thinks, well, why didn't the bankers
I agree. I agree. And all that investment comes in, and then humans don't get energy, but AI does. I'm going to come back in a minute and a half with Mike Adams' response to that. We'll take a few more calls, and Mike Adams takes over here today. Then the War Room, Harrison Smith, 3 p.m. today. But in the interim, we need your support. And God's given us incredible compounds that boost our health and overall well-being. We end tonight at midnight. Buy one bottle of ultramethylene blue. We have the best, strongest medical grade, either the liquid tincture or the pills. Buy one bottle, get one free, ends tonight. The 25% off shore-wide on top of it. You can buy any of the supplements, the Irish sea moss, you name it, for 50% off. We offer auto ship, canceling time. This huge sale ends tonight. And the key is, in the fight, fund and support those that are telling the truth, because information is key to this fight. TheAlexShowStore.com. I don't own that. That's Bigley. So whatever happens to InfoWars, they fund the new network. They fund the new system. We need your support. Plus, the products are incredible. I'm only going to sell stuff like the highest quality bovine colostrum, you name it, that really works, so you love it and you want it again. So I want to thank those that have supported. I would encourage those that haven't. Take action now. Boost your overall health with ultramethylene blue and more. Buy one bottle of ultramethylene blue in tonight at midnight and get another bottle free. Today is the last day with huge sales on top of that. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We've got all the Christmas stuff in as well. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And people have learned, we don't hype this stuff. This is scary stuff, but we believe you're like us. We believe you know the truth. We'll be right back on the other side with Mike Adams. Thank you, John, for the call. More calls straight ahead. Mike Adams, host. Stay with us. You are the reason InfoWars existed. You're the reason we've had so much success. You're the reason the globals hate our guts. I couldn't have done any of this without you. And now we're so close to being shut down. We fought so hard. We never gave up. We never backed down. But they have the state receiver appointed. He was here today. He can shut us down any time. I'm cutting this announcement on the evening of November 6th, Thursday, November 6th, 2025. And you have until this Sunday, just 3 days, to take advantage of the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com, which I don't own, but finances the new network and keeps InfoWars on the air so the bad guys can't shut it down. You get great products, the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, collectible knives, and so much more, and you keep this operation on air one way or another. I am the InfoWar. My crew is the InfoWar. The caller, the guest, all of us are the InfoWar. They're not going to shut us down. We're not giving up. The fact that they've come after us so hard is a testament to how far we've come against them, and they know they can't continue to operate. They're going to lose if they don't shut us down. So be the reason we stay on the air. Huge sale, 25% off store-wide on top of huge sales, 50% off on things like ultramethylene blue and more. It ends this Sunday. Take advantage of it right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and I salute all of you, and thank you for being at the heart of this fight. You are the spirit of 1776 worldwide. You are the resistance.
The truth is just a tap away. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Alex Jones app, available now on Google Play and the Apple App Store. Stream the latest shows, stay up to date with breaking news, and support free speech with every click. Grab your t-shirts, hats, supplements, and more, all inside the app. Don't wait. Download the Alex Jones app today and join the fight for freedom. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.